Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements. The brand that is famous for fruit arrangements now offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies. Edible Arrangements franchisees join a brand with 16 years of growth, 1,200 stores, and millions of visitors every year to ediblearrangements.com. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchisee at edible.com or call 1-888-727-4258.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
And welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. I'm so glad you decided to join me today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a creator, problem solver, and team builder. He has been a serial entrepreneur for 22 years and has built 8 startups. He is currently the CEO and founder of Intently. Intently is a vision boarding application and the world's most inspirational ad blocker. In fact, it combines goal setting, vision boarding, and ad blocking all into one. My guest says he is committed to creating and supporting businesses that are contributing to a more sustainable, just, and abundant world. Now, let's hack Misha Mikaelian. Today's episode is sponsored by the Digital Marketing Institute. It is the leading global provider of digital education and has equipped over 10,000 students across the world with skills and knowledge they need to excel in the digital industry. The postgrad diploma is designed, developed, and taught by industry experts whose knowledge of cutting-edge trends and specialist experience will help shape you into an accomplished digital marketer with a skill set that covers everything from mobile, social media, and search engine marketing, all the way to digital strategy and planning. Also, the benefits of studying online means you can enjoy 24-hour access to video lectures, downloadable support materials, and interactive quizzes. Visit dmipostgrad.com, that's dmipostgrad.com, to download a brochure from the Digital Marketing Institute and find out why studying their postgrad diploma in digital marketing is the perfect way to get ahead in a fast-paced, high-growth industry filled with exciting career opportunities. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have another very, very, very special guest. Misha, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have you, man. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Let's jump straight into it. Misha, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I feel like cultivating my own self-awareness. And, you know, I think a lot of times as an entrepreneur, in the past, I was externalizing what was in my way of success. And when I started working with a coach and really developing my own sense of self-awareness, and I started seeing all these roadblocks that were all internal, were all things that I was creating that was in my way that weren't actually true. So, you know, for me, the best thing I've done in my career of being an entrepreneur is really cultivating that self-awareness.
That's awesome. So literally, what does this mean, the externalizing of things? So are these things that you're just basically pointing blame at things that, and rather than taking it in yourself?
Yeah, you know, just like when you're running a business and like I would look at it and say like, oh, this isn't working because our competitors have a product that does this or this is better, or, you know, looking externally for the reasons why some things might not be working, and instead, you know, really asking yourself the questions in terms of like, what are the things that I can control and what might be in my way in terms of my, you know, internal state, or like how I'm perceiving things, or how I might be, you know, working with a certain team member, or, you know, just kind of holding myself accountable for what needs to be done. So I felt like cultivating self-awareness and eliminating those blind spots, when I really started putting focus energy on that in my career, is when things sort of really taken off for me.
Nice. The hardest work we can do, I think, is the work on ourselves. And self-awareness is so, so, so key. So I'm glad you said that. All right. So from what I've heard from your bio at the intro, which you haven't heard, but it is there, you've been at this entrepreneurial game for a long time. So there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make something big and make a huge difference in the world, or, as mostly seems to be the case, they find that they simply cannot work for somebody else anymore. So, Misha, could you tell me which side of the fence you fall on and when you found this out about yourself?
Yeah, so, you know, I kind of fell into entrepreneurship at a really young age. So I started kind of tinkering with some entrepreneurial ideas and generating some money for myself when I was 13 years old. And when I was 15, I actually started my first real business that I grew to over 100 grand a year in revenue while in high school. And, you know, it was kind of just a thing that was more situational for me. Like I grew up in a really wealthy family, and our financial situation took a drastic turn for the worst, and my mom couldn't afford to get me all the things that I felt were the most important things in life, like my pair of Air Jordans. And I just basically was forced to figure out how to make money on my own. And starting doing entrepreneurial types of things is just what I fell into. And, you know, so I kind of put myself in the camp of like, I'm completely unemployable. I can't imagine working for somebody else 8 businesses later. And I've never worked for anybody else. So I don't even know. I'd probably be a horrible employee. and I'm really committed to like creating some amazing things for the world. I love like expressing my creative energy through entrepreneurship and coming up with concepts and making them a reality and working with the community and people and teams to make that happen. So, you know, those are really like it just drive me like business after business to stay in this game, because it's not easy, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're right. It's not easy, but it is. It's the journey that's fun, right? Can you tell me what this 15-year-old $100,000 business was?
Yeah, I started.
Is it legal?
It is.
I don't know.
Well, I had two companies in high school. I started a DJ company, and I was, you know, disc jockeying for parties and bar mitzvahs, and then started growing and bringing on other DJs into our team. And it was just like we kind of cornered the high school DJ market in LA where I grew up. And that was a lot of fun. And then just a short while after, I actually started my first online business. And this was like back when the modem speeds were like 14.4, just super, super slow. But I started the first Yellow Pages on the internet. And that was a lot of fun and a really good learning experience for me. And I kept working on that company for another 4 or 5 years before I got out of it.
Wow. That's awesome. Do you have any businesses that are offline now?
I do. I'm involved in a business that I've been involved with for 12 years now. It's a chain of salons and spas in San Diego, and we've got several brick and mortar locations. I'm very passive in the business now because it doesn't really excite me, but I've got a great team that runs my locations and takes good care of them for me.
Really? This is salons. Two interviews in a row, I've now interviewed a salon person, which I thought was shocking the first time. Nick Trowbridge. She's like from the East Coast though, and she has like this massive salon, and she also has like a training, like online training program for salonists now. Or style. I don't know what they're called.
Great.
Yeah, it's interesting. All right, we're gonna move into work. So every expert now talks about 80-20, right? Do 20% and get 80% of the results. They say do what you're good at and delegate the rest. Misha, within your business, can you tell me something that you are absolutely not good at?
Oh man, I'm really bad at project management and timelines and organizing stuff like operations. So and I totally prescribe to those rules, and it's, you know, it's interesting because I'm actually dealing with that right now. I just talked to my business coach recently where it's like I'm used to running companies that have like 50 employees and I'm only in my sweet spot and I'm just in my genius zone. And I literally feel like only like 10% of the work I'm doing right now is in my genius zone because I'm just, you know, we're back in startup phase and I've got a small team and all my team is technologists. So like I'm pretty much doing everything like marketing, operations, legal, finance, fundraising, just all the different things that are required. So, you know, it's such a true thing. And sometimes you also just have to like, you have to grind it out and you have to push through the things you might not want to do to get to the place where you can really delegate everything and stay in your sweet zone.
Yeah, it's awesome. You've mentioned your coach twice now. Is this the same coach that you had that has taught you about self-awareness?
Yeah, actually it is. I've been working with him for about 10 years now. So
wow, that's awesome. I'm assuming it's working for you.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's something that I haven't tried yet as a business coach, but so many of my guests talk about how that's like such a crucial aspect of like their business and their success within it.
Yeah, I call him like Phil Jackson meets McKinsey consultant. So yeah, that if that turns anyone on, his name is Eric Kaufman, and he's amazing.
So, Eric Kaufman?
Eric Kaufman.
Kaufman.
So you can look him up. Awesome. Yeah.
I'll see if I can link to him for everyone. All right, so today's a work day. You obviously got up and you had probably, I don't know if you use to-do lists or what you have to do or what your business tells you you have to do, but you needed to get up and in some way be productive. So could you walk me through what was involved in, say, the first 30 minutes of your workday today?
Yeah. So first, I mean, even before I start working, it's really just to like get centered, get focused. I often do a morning meditation and a visualization exercise where I'm picturing what my life looks like 3 years from now and in detail in terms of all the different areas of my life, and then relate it back to what I need to get done today to really create that life for myself. So it's always in kind of my present awareness of the things like the 80-20, the things that are most important that need to get done to create that reality. So that's really the first thing. And then I don't do to-do lists. I live through my calendar. So I clear my inbox, and I'm a big fan of inbox zero and completely getting rid of all the clutter and putting things in your calendar. So when I need to do something, I find time when I can do it, and then I create it in my calendar, and then I just kind of follow through all my calendar appointments throughout the day.
That's awesome. This visualization you do, and I love the idea of thinking of the life you want or the business you want, even because the business typically is a huge portion of the life. But rather than just letting it sort of run itself and then you find out in 2 years that, wow, this business sucks and completely is ruining my life, which lots of people do, that they realize they're just run down. I love the idea of thinking about what you want and then sort of trying and working towards like manifesting that. Have you been doing this for a long time?
Yeah, I would say for at least the last 5 years.
Wow. And so when visualization of your business, say this morning, like, are you looking like 3 months out? Or are you looking like 5 years out or a year out? What do you?
So I choose 3 years. A friend of mine, you know, I saw him speaking on stage one time, and he talked about, you know, looking ahead 1 year, we often way overestimate what we think we can accomplish in a year. And looking 5 years, we way underestimate what we can accomplish in 5 years. So 3 years was his recommended sweet spot. And I just started doing that, and it actually felt really good to me.
That's awesome. We overestimate what we can do in 1 year, but underestimate what we can do in five.
Yep.
I love it. Okay, we're going to move into struggles and possibly failures. As entrepreneurs, as human beings, I guess in general, one of our greatest struggles is the fear of being wrong, making a mistake and failing. So Misha, could you tell me, within your business, can you tell me how to be wrong?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one to overcome, because I feel like early in my career, I was very opinionated and very set in my ways, and I didn't have a lot of space to be wrong. Outside of just doing a lot of personal development work, I'm not really sure what created that shift for me, but I totally agree that it's a huge core competency to be able to be wrong and admit when you're wrong and really like take in, you know, feedback from those around you. We do 360 reviews in my company. And one of the things I do is, you know, before I even start the reviews on other people, people are reviewing me. So, you know, I'm collecting people's reviews of me and make sure that as the leader of the company that I'm doing a job that everyone feels is good. And if not, like they're giving me constructive feedback on what I need to be working on.
Nice. That is something that's really, really hard, especially as the person in charge of a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
So especially when I think with like projects, when we're, and I use the term loosely, that can mean sort of anything, but let's sort of take it to projects now. So projects, meaning any new sort of venture you want to do with your business, big or small, but just something you want to decide that is the right thing to put your time, money, and resources into for some sort of set amount of time. I would love to know what your thought process is right now. It can be within an existing business or even something that, say, comes across your desk of a new venture. As a serial entrepreneur, obviously, we still like new ideas and new business ideas and just, you know what I mean? So I would love to know what your thought process is of deciding right now for you what is something that is worth your time to do?
Yeah, so for me right now, it really, and I, you know, I'm often getting involved in other projects. I do some angel investing, and I participate as advisors for other people sometimes. And you know, it's a lot to take on, especially when you're starting a new company. So, you know, you have to be really diligent in what you do. And for me, first and foremost, it's really connecting back to my values and my vision of what I'm trying to bring the world. So if I'm looking at new projects, it's like, you know, is this moving the needle in terms of creating some amazing shifts for humanity? Is it being a contribution to the whole, you know, or is it just a great way to make money where there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a great business that just found an opportunity in a market. And I'm personally now choosing to only get involved in projects that are having a tremendous amount of impact and also have the ability to have a financial model that's scalable that will allow them to be a bigger contribution in the world. So, you know, for me, that's first and foremost. And then it's also just being really realistic with your time and how much time you actually have so you don't overcommit.
Yeah, it's definitely one resource that's very exactly finite in all of us is time. So now you've decided that this is a project that you should put your resources into. And you've talked about the necessity of self-awareness and also of understanding when you're wrong. I want to know, what's your thought on either following your gut or metrics or whatever it is, but you've decided that this is the right thing for you to do. You're pushing it with all your resources and time, and feedback's coming sort of that it's not really working, but you kind of think that it needs to just be pushed for a few more months. There's that dip that Seth Godin talks about, right? Where there's going to be this dip that you have to push through. And if you can push through it, on the other side is success. So I want to know, what is, everyone struggles with this, it seems. Like, when is the right time to quit and say that, no, I was wrong? Or do you pivot? Or what do you do? I want to know how Misha deals with the initial feedback of something not being the right thing.
Yeah, so sometimes you get the feedback and you just realize, this isn't the right thing. We need to make a change. We need to cut this project. And I've made those calls before. And when you feel that's the right call, just do it, right? And then there's a time where it's like, you know, things aren't working, but something in your gut is telling you, like, just like you're saying, let's give it another 2 months. And, you know, I've developed a really good sense of my intuition and I really trust it. So when I get those feelings, what I do is say, okay, if I'm going to give this another 2 months, where does it exactly have to be at the end of the 2 months for me to continue investing in it after that? So if I'm going to go out on a limb and do another 2 months on this project before scrapping it or looking for something else, you know, what are those metrics and what does it have to look like? And then set them. And then, you know, after that point, you know, be true to your commitment as far as, you know, whether or not you hit those metrics and decide to move forward or not.
Nice. And would you say that you're more likely to just cut a project if it seems like it's not working initially, or try and pivot off of that original idea? And maybe that if we just pivot, it will take off in this direction. Or do you just cut your losses and walk?
Yeah, it really depends on the situation. Sometimes a pivot is in order, and sometimes, you know, it's really time to walk away from something. And I've walked away from a few businesses and some that I've actually invested a significant amount of money into. So, you know, you have to be willing to do that sometimes.
I guess you don't want to put like bad or good money after bad.
That's a great saying. Don't put good money after bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same with time, right? It's that you feel like you're invested already in it and you are, but does it make sense to keep investing? It's like, it's not going to make it better. So that's a interesting way to look at it. All right. This has been a really fun conversation, Misha, but I want to wrap up on something that I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap. So it seems to be this moment in space right now where we live as entrepreneurs, as like dreamers, we're always looking forward, right? Always even visualizing forward in your case, the whole 1 month, 3 months, 3 years for the visualization, 5 years, and we're setting goals. And when my business does this, or when I accomplish this in 6 months, I'll be successful. But before we get there, we set bigger goals into the future and we're always pushing forward and never quite just living in today and being proud of what we've accomplished. So you've done a lot, 18 years or 22 years and 8 startups so far. And I would love right now, Misha, if you would stop, turn around, look at that whole journey from when you're 15, actually, And tell me the ups and the downs, everything you've learned, everything you've struggled through, and the successes. And just tell me, honestly, how you feel about everything up till this moment.
I think that's like a 2-hour answer, so at least. But it's been a huge roller coaster of a journey. You know, there've been some really great highs and some really tough lows. You know, I was actually just kind of a short story. I was pretty much a millionaire before I could legally drink, and by the sort of 20 years old, if you're not here in the States. And by the time I was 24, I was dead broke and $250,000 in debt. And I had just like screwed up big time in those 4 years. And that was really tough for me to just be at that bottom there. And I was, for months, I was just pretending like none of this was happening. And it really took something for me to be like, okay, like I'm the only one who's going to fix this problem and get myself out of this, and to really get back on the horse and start over from nothing, and start over from a negative situation. So, you know, that was probably the most defining moment of my entrepreneurial career. And it forced me to shift some of my values and belief systems, and for the better. It's been a much more fulfilling journey since then. So
nice. So do you feel like you are fulfilled now? I mean, I would think with the meditation, the visualization, that you do sometimes stop and not always visualize forward.
Yeah, I don't. But actually, it's like, it's interesting. The company I'm working on right now, it's like, that's exactly what we do. We bring your future and your goals to your awareness every single moment of the day while you're browsing the web. So, you know, we basically remove all the ads you see and we replace them with your goals, intentions, and vision boards. So, you know, I'm a huge believer in keeping all of your goals and everything top of mind and seeing them like throughout the day, like every single day, because by the awareness of it is what really has you commit to the actions and the ways of being to truly accomplish them.
Wow. So this is what intently is.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Cause this, as I said, this has been an awesome conversation, and we've talked about your business in passing, but now's the time, Misha, where you need to tell the audience exactly where to find out more about your business.
Yeah. So to sign up for Intently, you basically just go to intently.com. It's a browser plugin that works in Chrome, Firefox, and Safari. And it'll remove every single ad you see while you browse the internet and replace them with inspirational content, your own specific goals that you've created, personal affirmations. And you could subscribe to tens of thousands of content channels our users have created, or you can create your own content channel or your own private goals that nobody else can see but you. So it's really a tool, and it's totally free, and it's a tool to help you really reprogram your subconscious to be engaged in behaviors throughout the day that align with what your goals and intentions are in life.
Oh, that's so awesome. I'm actually just, I was signing up. You just sold me on it as you were saying that. That's really, really, really cool. And I recommend it for everyone. So intently.com will take you there. I will link to that in the show notes. I'm going to find a link for Eric Kaufman. And you, are you on social media?
Yeah.
Where can people reach out to you?
So either LinkedIn or Facebook, great ways to get a hold of me.
Okay, LinkedIn and Facebook. I will link to both of those in the show notes, so they're easy to find. Reach out to Misha and follow up with any questions that you might have, or just thank him for taking the time to be on the show. I'm going to do that right now, Misha. Thank you so much for joining me. Thanks for all that you do. And please just keep doing it, man, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thanks, John. It's been such a pleasure to be on and connect with your audience today. And just thank you guys all for listening.
Well, that was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed that out there as much as I did. And have you heard the big news? I'm writing a book. I'm writing a book. I was going to say as we speak, but I'm not writing it as we speak, but I'm writing it today. And I'm writing it yesterday and tomorrow. And December 14th, it looks like a launch date is what we're looking at. And I would love you to have it. I would possibly even love you to be part of my team to help me launch this book. I think it'd be awesome. It's going to be an Amazon, a Kindle book, obviously. And also there's going to be a paperback that you can also get if you would like. The best way right now is go to the website, hacktheentrepreneur.com, and get onto my email list. From there, I will be moving people who are interested over to a separate email list just for people who are interested in the book to get going. We have about 2 months right now, 2 months and a bit before it launches, but I would love to have you involved. Actually, yesterday, I sent out the first little bit of a chapter to see the format and see what people think. And I've been getting some really, really great feedback. So yeah, I would love to have you there. Hacktheentrepreneur.com. You'll see places to put in your email address. They all go to the same email. Right now, I'm going to be sending every Sunday my best writing I'm doing, plus all notifications for the book are going there. And then I'll be able to move you over to another list when you show interest in the book or in supporting me as we go to launch. I think it's going to be fun. Check it out. All right, let's get back to this. Because Misha it was a really fun conversation. He was recommended to me by another guest, and I'm really glad that we got to finally have this conversation. So as I was going back through it, there was just a lot of really, really smart things that Misha said, a lot of things that stuck in my brain, a lot of things that I think will help me in my business and hopefully help you in your business. But Misha said this one thing that keeps sticking out to me. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Looking ahead 1 year, we often way, way overestimate what we think we can accomplish in a year. And looking 5 years, we way underestimate what we can accomplish in 5 years. So 3 years was his recommended sweet spot. And I just started doing that. And it actually felt really good to me.
And that's the hack. Misha. I love this. This is awesome. And I always, especially because at the end, I'm always talking about the entrepreneurial gap, and I'm talking about setting your goals 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 3 year, 5 years, 10 years down the line. And I honestly believe you have to do this. But it's always a matter of how far out do you set these goals? So I love the way Misha says this. So 1 year, we tend to grossly overestimate what we can accomplish in 1 year. And I think that that's true. But when we go to 5 years, there's like the changes in our lives, in our environments, everything around us. I mean, in just technology and the space that we're in, usually the changes that can go on, it could boggle our mind. So I don't even think it's worth trying to go that far ahead. I honestly don't. So 3 years, that's cool. I love this idea of 3 years, because to me that seems reasonable, right? It seems like, okay, I could plan out to 3 years where I'm going and readjust sort of every year to kind of push it further if I need to, depending on if I did underestimate this first year, unlike how we typically do it. But I really like this. I think that that's a great baseline to go off of, because if you haven't set these goals for yourself, then it's absolutely essential. I would never have done anything in my business until I started at that one first day when I decided that I was going to start working towards something, because a year looks far moving ahead. When you're looking ahead a year, it looks like a long ways away. But when you're looking back on a year really goes by quite quick, doesn't it? It does. And it's going to go by no matter if you are working towards this or not, and you are building your business out the way you want to and kind of building the life that you want. So you might as well be doing it with goals in mind. And when you're setting these goals, listen to Misha. Set them 3 years out. Obviously at increments of 6 months, a year, 2 years, and 3 years, but with the end goal being 3 years. Figure out exactly where you want to be in 3 years and then work back to today and kind of plan out what you have to do each day, each week, each month, each year to get to that spot. And it will work. It absolutely does. So Misha, thank you so much for that. I love the clarity on the goal setting. Well, before we wrap up, I do want to once again thank Edible Arrangements for sponsoring today's hack. Edible Arrangements wants you to become a franchisee, and you can join their brand with 16 years of growth, 1,200 stores, and millions of visitors every year to ediblearrangements.com. Find out for yourself and discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to success as an Edible Arrangements franchisee at edible.com or call 1-888-727-4258. All right, this has been fun. I thank you so much. And please, Until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.